Is it Sunday yet? Almost. Welcome into the Almost Sunday Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Derek, joined by Joe Mason this week. Joe Beldner could not join us this week, but we're going to talk football, talk free agency news. We'll probably go down a rabbit hole of dynasty at some point, because that's really all we got going on right now in the NFL. We have all the free agency signings, some fantasy implications there, depending on who is signing where. But other than that, Joe and I were talking pre-show. We are in the dead zone of the offseason as far as fantasy goes. We don't have any draft to get excited about for another month. The combine is over, and so we're grasping at straws, refreshing Twitter, trying to see who's signing where, getting excited about any trades. I don't know when in the offseason it was last year, Joe, but when were all those trades happening?
Yeah, the trades last year? Which one are you?
I mean, Tyreek Hill got traded. Devontae Adams got traded. A.J. Brown got traded at the draft. But A.J. Brown was after those trades, correct?
Yeah.
Like during free agency. So let's get some trade action here. But anyway, before we jump into it, I mean, how are you doing, man? We've been missing you the last couple episodes.
Yeah, I just been, I think we took a week off, right? And then I had to travel for work and also turned it into a little vacation as well. But yeah, dude, good. Just work's been kicking my butt as of late. But excited to take a break, man, from work and just talk some football with you.
I mean, I know it doesn't come through in the audio, but is that a new background or you just always have your blinds drawn?
I think I always have my blinds up. Yeah.
I've never seen out your window before as I speak from my in-laws' basement and not my usual office location. But the basil plant is looking good.
Yeah, it survived me being away for 10 days. My girlfriend did a good job watering it. Yeah. But I try to let the natural light in, you know. Sometimes I need some vitamin D from the sun, man. It helps.
Yeah. I'm having a vacation in a couple weeks, which I'm looking forward to, my first vacation in about a year, at least as far as leaving the state of Ohio. Well, I mean, beyond going to Kentucky to visit my in-laws. But anyway, enough chit-chat. What is the most impactful free agency signing that you've seen thus far? Not including Aaron Rodgers, because nothing is official there.
That's a good one. The one I could think of that just happened was Miles Sanders going to the Panthers.
Yeah.
And I want to say Frank – I can't remember if Frank Reich was with the Eagles when he got drafted there. I don't know if he was. That might have been after he was already with the Colts.
Let's see. Miles Sanders was not on the Eagles Super Bowl team, and Frank Reich left after the Super Bowl, so he would not have been – I think he would have left right before they drafted Miles Sanders.
Gotcha.
However, Deuce Staley is with the Panthers. And Deuce Staley was the running backs coach for Miles Sanders, and so they've been reunited in Carolina.
So, yeah, I like that landing spot for Miles Sanders. I feel like last year in Dynasty, he kind of had a discount because people were like, you know, he's probably not going to be back with the Eagles. There's always a chance they take, like, a running back with a high draft capital pick, right? And now he's going to the Panthers, and they're going to add a rookie quarterback, and – it's just going to be pretty much his show, I think. So I think if you have him on your dynasty team, I think that's a nice reassuring, you know, 4-year contract that he got. So
yeah, I wasn't sure what the good landing spot was going to be, but I don't think you could find much better than that until we find out where all the other chips fall. But Miles Sanders to Carolina is definitely a boost to his dynasty stock. He still has a couple years until he's really going to fall off a cliff, I think. I mean, not much else to say. I think Miles Sanders is a good running back. If anything, I think he was underutilized to an extent on the Eagles team. If you looked at the Super Bowl, I was like, where's Miles Sanders? I don't know what happened. Because there was never anything after that to suggest that he was hurt, really. But I don't know what his snap share was, but he was invisible in the Super Bowl, and it was very strange to watch. I think at some point he went to the locker room. Maybe I don't know. I'm just projecting here. Maybe nerves got the best of him, and he had to, like, go throw up or something.
Yeah, or got banged up and just needed to
Yeah.
get it checked out.
But
I
it's
am.
Kenneth Gainwell's season until it
Yep.
wasn't,
Yep.
because while the Carolina Panthers were signing Miles Sanders, the Eagles were signing Rashad Penny. And I kind of like that.
I like it a lot, actually. I have a couple shares of him where I was like, I don't know what's gonna happen with Penny. Wouldn't surprise me if Pete Carroll brings him back or if he goes to a committee, but it sounds like at least for right now, they're bringing him in to be the lead running back. And obviously I like Kenny Gainwell, but the Eagles can always still take a running back in the draft, which maybe they do. Maybe they don't take a high draft capital one, but maybe they take one in the late rounds as well. But yeah, I like the landing spot for Penny. Hopefully he can stay healthy. When he's been healthy, he's always been really good for
Yeah.
fantasy.
I mean, the Eagles have three earlier picks. I think they only have five total. So the likelihood of them taking a running back at this point, I think, is low. They'll probably just scoop some guys in undrafted. So I'm not worried about any kind of rookie coming in to shake up that hierarchy. But once again, we're sitting here thinking, oh man, Kenneth Gainwell, now's his shot. We were excited about him heading into redraft season last year. And we've got that weird, ambiguous situation once again, which maybe he's going to be a value now. I think with Sanders leaving, if they didn't sign a guy like Penny, then Gainwell's stock was probably going to be too inflated. But now I think you can get him and he might be a value because look at Penny. I mean,
Right.
he can't stay healthy. You always hope that he stays healthy and. You can call a guy injury prone until he's not. I mean, I don't really believe in the whole philosophy of being injury prone because if you're getting hurt, you're injury prone. If you stop getting hurt, are you still injury prone?
People thought McCaffrey was injury
Yeah, that's
prone,
what I'm saying. Who else? I mean, who else was injury prone and then proved they weren't? I mean, Jonathan Taylor wasn't injury prone until. And now going into next season, what is he? Is he injury prone?
Right.
I don't know. I don't want to put too much stock in injuries. Unless Penny is like hurt in training camp. That is the injury that I take stock in.
Yeah. I think lately I've been enjoying all the trades happening past 2 years. Like you got Darren Waller who just got traded, Jalen Ramsey, some big name guys, right? That
Yeah.
still have, I think, still got a good amount left in the tank, but I think teams are getting smarter with the cap where they realize, like, hey, we got to get out from this guy. Like, he still produces, but we got to get out of, tough cap situations and moving on and taking what they can. Because what Ramsey, they got him for like what, a third? Like, it was nothing, right? Like,
Don't forget the goat, Hunter Long.
I have so many shares of him. It's stupid. I was like, no, he was gonna be the guy when Gesicki left, and now he's gonna be behind, I think, Higbee, right? So,
Yeah.
yeah,
I don't
I
know.
still believe
Hunter Long, it's the draft capital that sucks you in. You're like, they
does.
took him for a reason, right? He was like a second round pick, I think.
Yeah, so that's entertaining. And then obviously we're still waiting on what's gonna happen with Aaron Rodgers. It sounds like they're just trying to determine trade compensation, right? For him, and it's just driving
Yeah.
me crazy because I
I
just want to
mean,
see a report that says here's the trade and here's what's happening and it's done.
I saw that they want a first plus more. And I mean, I know I use some more colorful language than I'll use here in the Twitter chat, but I mean, what are the Packers? The Packers have all the cards. The cap, dead cap is there whether they trade him or not. So why would they take a low ball offer? They could wait. They could just keep waiting. They could just keep him on the roster. They know that they're starting Jordan Love. I mean, I guess you could go with the sentimental route of like, oh, they owe Aaron Rodgers to like make it right.
Right.
But all Rodgers has done is give them the bird the last like 3 years. So
You like how he turned
I
it
would be
on
a little bit
them?
vindictive, I might think.
He basically turned it on then and was like, I wasn't decided, but they didn't want me, so I'm out. And it's
Yeah, I
like,
don't know.
I don't know. But the Jets have the 13th pick in the draft. So I'm guessing Green Bay wants that. And maybe the Jets are trying to find a solution where they don't have to trade that
Right,
pick.
because I don't want to give up the 13th pick for a 39-year-old one-year rental that might take you to the promised land. I mean, I guess you gotta scared money can't make money, and you gotta risk it for the biscuit. If you think that you're making the Super Bowl in the AFC against Burrow, against Mahomes, against maybe a rejuvenated Wilson, if he figures his stuff out, then you've got Herbert. Like, it's not like an AFC team to getting Rodgers is not as impactful to me than if some NFC contender got him, because the
Yeah,
NFC is wide open.
it is. It really is.
The AFC is a gauntlet, however you line it up. You got to get through the grueling season and then hope you get lucky in the playoffs, even with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, if you were the Jets, would you trade your second, the pick 43, your second round pick this year, and your first in 24, or is that too much for Rodgers? Assuming your first next year is probably going to be late, assuming you make the playoffs
Yeah,
and
I'd probably do that. I don't want to give up the 13th pick because I want to double down thinking we're going to do well, give up the next year's pick. Because otherwise, you're looking at a Seattle Seahawks situation. And
Which,
the,
yeah,
well, the
could
Broncos.
happen.
The Broncos, that's basically, I mean, they paid up for Wilson, but they were not thinking, oh, we're going to lose a top five pick here. And they did. They're
Oh,
thinking, whoa,
man.
it's going to be in the 20s at least.
All the takes of like worst trade in NFL history for the Seahawks, and it's like totally flipped, right? It's
Yeah.
like, it's
Because what? Did they
pretty
get like Tariq
incredible.
Woolen like with one of those picks too? That
I
guy's a
think
stud.
so. Yeah. And I think they took a tackle with the Broncos pick who started like most of the season for them. I can't remember his name, but yeah, they made out like bandits, and now they're going to have this pick in this draft, right? So good for the Seahawks. I guess pulling on the Broncos thread, you've probably heard the rumors of Jeudy and Sutton potentially getting shopped, right?
Oh,
What
I
does
have
this say
not heard.
for?
Well, I saw Sutton post about how, like, I just want to be wanted somewhere. I
Yeah,
want
so
to be somewhere where I'm wanted.
apparently they're also trading or trying to shop Jeudy as well and Hamler.
Hey, trade him
So
for Elijah Moore.
I think they realized they invested money in Sutton, they invested money in Tim Patrick, and Judy's going to be due for a contract. Like, do we just roll with these guys and trade Judy, or do we trade someone with a contract so we could sign Judy? And I think they're trying to just maneuver the cap for the Broncos, but I think it says a lot that they like Tim Patrick. I think Tim Patrick's going to be okay from his ACL, but I guess which one do you think would get moved? Do you think Sutton or Judy? If you had to pick, like if the Broncos had to trade one.
I mean, I think they would trade Sutton. Judy is the asset as a GM that I would want to keep more than Sutton. But from a financial point, like Sutton's contracts are going to go down from here. Judy is probably going to get a payday. So, Zeke Elliott is getting cut by the Cowboys, or if he hasn't already.
Yeah, it's
I
official.
think they're
I saw it
designating him as
today.
a post-June cut, though, maybe. Which I don't know if that means he can still sign somewhere else, right?
I believe so,
He
yeah.
doesn't have to wait till June. So what do you think is the landing spot for Zeke? I saw a post that, I mean, it had one of the teams listed was the Eagles, and I was like, that's not happening. Oh, as of 2 minutes ago,
Darius
Darius
Slay, right?
Slay is
Heck
agreeing
yeah.
to a contract extension. What a whirlwind roller coaster of emotions that's been.
I'm glad you
Yesterday
guys
he
are
was
keeping
cut.
him. Yeah, that was a little bit of a surprise for me. So yeah, I'm sure you're happy he's staying, right?
Yeah, I like that it's 2 years because, I mean, he is over 30 and he's a cornerback. That can go sour real quick. And even in the playoffs, he was amazing all season. I think some of the cracks were starting to show towards the end, which concerns me a little bit, but I love him as a personality. Darius Slay is hilarious, and I think he's a great locker room presence. And so losing him would have been It wouldn't have been to the level of losing Malcolm Jenkins when he departed for the Saints, but it would have been up there as far as the camaraderie that he's built in that locker room with everyone else. But wait, so what do you think about Ezekiel
Zeke.
Elliott?
There's a lot of teams that need running backs. I could see Arthur Smith trying to sign him in Atlanta, pair him with Algier. I think Buffalo, who has like two change of pace guys and James Cook and Naheem Hines, could like add Zeke to the mix for like a ground and pound. But yeah, I mean, the Chargers would be interesting if Eckler gets traded and they want to sign someone like Zeke, a veteran, to like a more affordable contract. So
Yeah.
there's a lot of openings for running backs, and I don't think Zeke will sign until after the NFL draft.
That's what I was going to ask. What do you think the chances were that he's going to try to sign before the draft?
I don't
I'd
think
say
it's good
low.
because I think he's going to want some money. I think he's going to want a multi-year deal, and I think teams are going to be more interested in like a 1 to 2 year thing because, he had some issues staying healthy a little bit. I know he banged up his knee a little bit back to back seasons, which was kind of the reason why I was like, okay, he's kind of at a value like each off season because he sounded like, I think it was last year he, not the 2022 season, but 2021 where he like sprained his PCL in week four, right? And ever since then he was kind of average, right? And so I was
Yeah.
like, oh, maybe it's just like a value right now I can get him, but he had a good run last year from the middle of the season to the end.
Yeah.
So
I
yeah,
think it's easy to.
I
I'm
think it's
just thinking
after the
about
NFL
Tony
draft.
Pollard. It's easy to get excited about him right now.
Right.
I think his role is going to stay the same.
I think so too. Yeah.
He
They'll
might
want to
get a
bring in
little bit
somebody
more run.
else.
It might actually. It could be worse because he might get more carries, less targets. And because I mean, I don't think a rookie's going to come in and take the amount of volume that Zeke got on the ground. It's going to be probably more of a timeshare, but the idea that Pollard's going to be some like Christian McCaffrey level workhorse is just a fallacy.
Yeah, I agree.
But I'm just scrolling through some alerts and big news in the Dolphins re-signing Myles Gaskin.
I can't believe that. I was expecting them to shake up their running back backfield, and they're
Why
bringing
was he even
back
willing to do that?
they're bringing back Mostert, and they're bringing back
They
Jeff
left him to
Wilson, and then
die. And
I
he's like, oh, sure, I'll come back. Like, what?
know.
Have some self-respect, Myles.
Totally. I always liked him
Especially
too.
this early in the off-season, in the free agency period. I can't believe he was so quick to re-sign.
Yeah.
He must know something that they don't. He must know that he's stealing money or something.
Yeah.
Dang. What a falling off that was. Speaking of falling off running backs, Kerryon Johnson made some buzz the last 24 hours. I don't know
Did
if you
he?
saw that.
No.
Somebody was like, "Oh, would you consider like signing to a team this year?" Like someone like a fan just saying like, "We miss you. Like, are you gonna sign with a team? Like, maybe you'll play." He was like, "Maybe as a coach," and someone was like, "Why? Like, we miss you. You're so good." And he was like, "Well, because I played for a military, like basically like I played for a drill sergeant, and because of that, I lost both my knees and my neck."
Oh.
And so I can't remember who was that Matt Patricia?
Yeah, that might have been it. Yeah.
So he threw some smoke at
At
his
that.
co his coaching staff for the Lions.
Right, man. I really liked him. I drafted him everywhere and I got out of him a couple times before it was too late, so that was good.
Oh yeah, it was Matt Patricia a couple days ago. He said that Matt Patricia ended his career essentially. Military general left me down two knees was his quote.
Ouch. Probably playing him or making him play through injuries and stuff
Yeah.
like that.
Speaking of Lions running
Yeah,
backs,
David
former Lions running
Montgomery.
backs. Well,
And
yeah,
oh yeah,
David
Jamal
Montgomery.
Williams.
I actually like the Jamal Williams signing in New Orleans, where he's probably going to be the guy for the first half of the season with Kamara potentially being suspended. I guess we'll see.
Very true. I didn't
I
even I
think
wasn't even thinking about that part.
I actually think Kamara's court date is this month. Let me look it up.
I think we should find out pretty soon about that.
I mean, oh, the segue got moved just to keep, speaking of court dates, there's not going to be a court date for Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
He seems to have avoided any kind of legal troubles where a kid got shot outside of his house. There's still a lot of confusion. I'm still confused about that whole situation.
Yeah.
Who shot the kid?
Yeah, I heard of something on it. It might have been TMZ that his like sister was present at his house or something. So his sister was being questioned by the cops also. Yeah. But yeah. Yeah, Joe Mixon's had a rough couple weeks. You know, post, I guess the first incident happened before the AFC Championship game, right? And then
the news came out after.
Could you imagine if they won, if they beat the Chiefs in like Super Bowl week? He's got all this distraction, like
where he like basically road raged someone.
Yeah, that would have been wild. But Kamara's, I think it was, he had a prelim hearing in March, and his court date's July 31st. So we probably won't know until late in the off season.
Okay, that's tough. So who are the guys that are still unsigned that are going to be relevant? We got Kareem Hunt still floating out there. Speaking of guys with legal trouble.
Yeah, I wonder where he goes.
What is it? All the connections, the segues are impeccable tonight.
Yeah, I wonder who's left. Let's see.
I mean, we got Kareem Hunt. Let's see. Yeah, who are the other? Juju signed. Who else signed? We got Juju. We got Jeff Smith signed with the Giants.
Yeah, Carson Wentz is still available. Matt Ryan. Kenny Golladay got released.
Yeah, what do you think the Washington quarterback situation is going to be? Is Sam Howell going to be the starter and Jacoby is the backup, or are they going to have a competition there?
I think knowing Riverboat Ron, he's going to say it's an open competition and all that good stuff, and we probably won't know who's for sure the starter until like preseason, knowing Ron Rivera.
Knowing Ron Rivera.
Dalton Schultz is another big free agent that hasn't signed yet.
And where did Mike White sign? You've signed with...
Backing up the Dolphins, I think. He's backing up Tua.
Okay. There was another guy that signed that was like, I was surprised to see like he signed as the backup. Oh, it was the Falcons. The Falcons signed Heinicke, and it was like to be the backup.
Yeah.
They actually specified that. So that means that they're giving the reins to Desmond Ridder, at least for the time being.
Yep. And I like that. I think Heinicke's a great backup quarterback to have because, like, I don't know, 4 weeks in, if Ridder just sucks, they could just they'll flip it to Heinicke, who's proven that he can get it done.
They don't really have to change
the
offense that much. He's got a little bit of mobility.
Yep. Adam Schefter just tweeted out that Deontay Foreman signed with the Bears. So Khalil Herbert has some competition now. He's an interesting dynasty guy, actually. How do you like Khalil Herbert going forward?
I like him because he's shown that he's good. We're not really operating on, like, oh, the promise, like Kenny Gainwell. It's like, right. Oh, Kenny Gainwell, Miles Sanders is gone. Hopefully he's good. Kenny Gainwell's been good in limited action, but Khalil Herbert's had, like, top 5 weeks when he's gotten the chance. That's not what we've seen from a guy like Gainwell.
Yeah, I worry that, like, Fields is going to take his rushing upside, you know, which happens with when you have a rushing quarterback.
I'd
probably sell him.
With the Darren Waller trade to the Giants, Daniel Bellinger was looking like a pretty sweet asset at the tight end position for Dynasty.
I'm bummed.
What does that do to his long-term value? Do you still believe in him, or is he just kind of pushed to the side?
Let's see Waller's contract. I'm curious.
Because other than that, we got a lot of defensive guys who signed. Odell Beckham's still out there. I know that Aaron Rodgers wants him, but at what point do the Jets say, like, okay, we have enough wide receivers? Because Elijah Moore is still on his rookie contract. They have Garrett Wilson. They signed Alan Lazard. I mean, is Corey Davis a free agent?
He not yet.
Okay.
He will. He can be cut, I think. And I think they will if they have to sign all of Rodgers' friends.
Okay.
Yeah, know,
that,
like
but that's
Brett
what
O'Connor,
I'm saying. Is like Odell Beckham is superfluous on that roster.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Thielen is out there. DJ Chark is out there. These are some guys that can have impacts, but they're going to be mid to late round guys in fantasy drafts. Damien Harris is a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
It's Ramondre Stevenson season, except they did sign James Robinson, which I think that's smoke and mirrors. I don't think that that's relevant to Ramondre Stevenson's value.
Mm-hmm.
Devin Singletary's out there. Robert Tonyan at tight end. Schultz, Gesicki. Irv Smith's a free agent. Nelson Aguilar. That's kind of the list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Waller is under contract till 2026, actually. Looks like he's got an out after 2024 for no dead cap. So the Giants could cut ties with him if he's like not performing. But, yeah, I think it puts Bellinger on the back burner for the time being. I think you're better off looking at some other, you know, tight ends in this class, which it's supposed to be like a deeper, you know, tight end class, rookie class. And I don't know, like go get guys like, I think Kate Otten's got a better chance of being, you know, relevant for next season and beyond than Bellinger now that Waller's in town.
Fair enough. What else you want to talk about, Joe? Like I said, it's kind of the dead zone right here. Anything on the forefront of your mind for fantasy football or otherwise?
I'm just starting to get into looking at the rookies more often before the NFL draft and just making sure I understand them. I like to get an opinion of them before and after the draft, right? Because obviously landing spot makes a difference, but I want to understand who they are and what they can bring to the table before they go to a team, because I don't want the team landing spot to skew me too much. Like, it's important, but you know, I was like everybody else, you know, in the 2020 class when you had Jonathan Taylor and CEH, I still had Taylor above Clyde, but Clyde was easily my second because he went to the Chiefs, and I'm, you know, like most people, I was still wrong there. So it's important to get opinions before they go to a good or bad landing spot.
Because I know that is the most cited example. I'm trying to think of last year what that did to any of the rookies. I guess Treylon Burks got a bump because it was like, okay, he's going to be the guy in Tennessee.
People assumed he was going to be A.J. Brown, and you can't. A.J. Brown is A.J. Brown. There's no one like him.
And then, I mean, Garrett Wilson, I think his stock went down a little bit on the Jets.
Yeah.
I mean, you had Zach Wilson, and then Elijah Moore was like, oh, that's direct competition. You never know what's going to happen. I guess you got to just look at the talent, and the talent's going to win out. And that was surely the case with Garrett Wilson, and a very unfortunate fall from grace for Elijah Moore after a pretty solid rookie campaign. And who else did that happen with? I mean,
yeah, I'll say my advice. My advice for that example about Garrett Wilson is I saw Sky Moore go ahead of Garrett Wilson in certain drafts because he was going to the Chiefs. They didn't have an alpha wide receiver. I think my advice and what I've learned over the years is you have to have tiers of guys pre-draft, and then when they go to landing spots, you move them up and down in that tier of, like, you might have three guys and maybe you prefer ABC and now it's BCA, right? But you don't move them down a tier just because they go somewhere else. And I think that's kind of the issue that happened, like, to me back with the Clyde and the JT in 2020. And then last year when I saw some people take Sky Moore over Garrett Wilson, who he was, for some people, Garrett Wilson was the number one receiver in the class.
Yeah. I think even running backs last year. And there wasn't really too much impact with landing spot. Except, like, I mean, can't really think of any off the top of my head. Now we're just wasting time.
I'm trying to think. I'm actually drawing a blank, too.
I'm just so focused on this year already. Like, Bijan, Charbonnet, Jahmyr Gibbs. Like, I'm, like, forgetting the rookies from last year. What do we have? We had Algier. We had Rashad White. But who are the early guys? Breece Hall. Come on. Kenneth Walker. I don't think it really, the draft spot didn't really impact those guys too much.
Yeah.
Let's see, James Cook. James Cook got a boost though, and he was okay at the end.
Every year there's a couple guys that just get a crazy boost because of their landing spot.
Yeah, I think James Cook was kind of that guy.
Last year was TDP and James Cook.
Oh yeah. Isn't it funny though that TDP got the bump solely because of that precedent and history in San Francisco? It had no basis in logic. It was just like, oh, well, it's San Francisco. That means he's going to be the new running back because they never keep the same running back.
Right.
That's not an actionable pattern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. So I'm curious to see, like, who goes to a good landing spot. And someone's probably going to end up behind Derrick Henry. And you're probably going to be able to get him at a value. And they're going to be really good. And I don't know. Derrick Henry's getting up there. I would not be surprised to see Henry dealt during the season or even like during the NFL draft. I feel like the Titans are just resetting their cap and trying to get out of bad contracts.
Sure, yeah. I could see it. I mean, I know they're already shopping them already, kind of. But I think that's going to do it, unless you got anything else, Joe.
No, this was fun. I like the kind of the spitball we were doing and just kind of going with the flow.
Yeah, we just checked in. We got a lot of free agency happening. We'll have plenty to talk about next week. Hopefully Joe is able to join us. Not Joe Mason, because he's here, but Joe Beldner. And sometime in the near future, we're going to try to keep bringing in some guests. So stay tuned. This is the Almost Sunday Fantasy Football Podcast. You can listen to it wherever podcasts are found, but actually only specifically Apple Podcasts and Spotify. So if you're listening to us, you found us. And we look forward to talking to you next week. Have a great week. Bye. We'll